This episode of the Mike O'Mara Show is brought to you by the TMOS Amazon Portal. Remember to click the Amazon link at tmospodcast.com before you shop. It's that easy. Thank you. Now on with the show.
60 Minutes will be coming up following football, followed by Murder, She Wrote.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment. You can listen to The Mike O'Mara Show at tmospodcast.com or anywhere fine podcasts are found.
Welcome to our show.
Just play the hell out of it.
It's got to be fucking.
So look what I found.
This is good.
It's The Mike O'Mara Show with Mike O'Mara,
Mike,
Josh Schroka,
Josh,
and Rob Speedwack.
Oh, Rob.
It's a special Jar episode. Now, here's Josh and Rob.
You know, I forgot that the Jar show open has different actualities in it.
Yeah, it's a little different. I've also been thrown off by the clip you played before the intro because the comma confuses me as well sometimes with how long the pause in the Murder, She Wrote.
That is actually from a documentary about Pat Summerall where they talk about how the longer Murder, She Wrote ran, the longer he paused. That it got to be a thing that they'd laugh about in the truck.
So it's something he was doing on purpose.
Yeah, let's listen to that again, because anyone who ever watched CBS football knows this.
60 Minutes will be coming up following football, followed by Murder, She Wrote.
I love that.
It's great. He says murder with the proper tone, like intrigue. And
yeah, exactly. And
it's perfect.
I got a chance to meet Pat Summerall once, and all he asked me was, where's Jergy? And I said, huh? He said, Sonny Jurgensen. Yeah. I said, well, I thought, God, I guess when you play the 1960s together, you have nicknames. Thursday action. Welcome to the Mike O'Mara Show with Josh and Rob. I guess we should lead off with an announcement that new formatics, Thursdays are going to belong to you and me. And when I say you and me, I don't mean the listener and me. I mean Josh and me. But the listener too.
Every show belongs to the listeners.
So yeah, on the Thursdays, get ready to all you jarheads. Can open the jar because it's a Josh and Rob show.
It's kind of a Producers Club preview, yes.
Yeah, someone says, I did not pay for the producer. This is the free Producers Club.
Yeah.
This is the free sample before we start charging them.
But yeah. Everything that distracts us in the Producers Club, now Thursdays is our chance.
Yeah. Now, there are certain things that we're going to have to get used to. Like, for example, before the show, it's going to become commonplace if I ask you, are we going to read commercials or are we going to have all pre-records? Because today I forgot to ask, so I don't know. What would you like to do?
We can do pre-records.
Okay, so you can handle that? Great.
Yeah, we'll do pre-records today.
Then no need to print out copy. That's good. That's very, very good. So this is exciting. This is fun. And I know there has been some heat on the less than the sites that are not dedicated to praising the Mike O'Mara Show. There are some out there.
Yes.
Some celebrate the show. Some enjoy the show. Some do not. And those that do not, there have been complaints about the auction, that people have not received their items yet from the auction. And also, wasn't there a complaint that someone got charged right away?
Yes, you got charged right away. Imagine that, just like any other store or credit card transaction in your world.
Yeah, like Amazon or Etsy or, God forbid,
who
eBay.
Who do I complain to Amazon that I paid and my product is not arriving until Saturday?
Dear Mr. Bezos jerk, I have a problem with the fact that I ordered carabiners and I was charged before they arrived. So I did just buy carabiners, by the way.
Everyone needs them. You're going to go climbing this weekend.
I got little ones because I have keys all through my desk. I needed to keep my keys together. And I don't have long enough fingernails to use a standard keychain ring. You know the one I mean.
Oh, yeah. And you like to clip them on the side of your pants and be like the janitor walking around.
I do. Like Rudy the Repairman, if you want to make a reference from 80 years ago.
But yes, the auction items have all been shipped as far as we know.
Well, I know everything I've shipped all mine.
I know I shipped all mine. And remember, some of them were being custom made and shipped
out. That's right. You know what's going to be the hardest item to ship? And I thought about it. I was going through the list. Is that hat. Because technically, it's going to require a hat box.
Just a square box is fine.
Well, it's a pretty big hat. I remember the box that my top hat arrived in. I should have saved it. actually, because, you know, good for shipping. But yes. Whoever, it was James Amato who purchased the hat, right?
I believe it was someone else who then purchased it for James.
Oh, in honor of James Amato.
Yeah, so I don't know if it's a surprise or not.
Oh, well then, my mouth is, nobody hear what I just said. How are we doing so far?
Who knows?
Pretty good.
Don't know.
But in any case, everything shipped. And you're a post office. Well, you're a post office guy. You go to the post office all the time because of your bin business.
But my post office is different than your post office.
In what way?
Because, well, because I don't go to a standard post office. I go to an auxiliary sorting post office.
Okay.
So it's like a substation. And
is it also like got Subway sandwiches and a Starbucks? I mean, is it in a strip mall? Is it a freestanding building?
It's in a grocery store, but they took over the grocery store. It's an old grocery store building that is now where all the mail for like my neighborhood comes to, and they sort it and put it on different mail trucks there.
Okay.
And they have one door where they let me go and drop off packages. You can't buy shipping. You can't talk to someone for help.
Oh, it's just a drop off.
You drop off and but you hand it to someone and they scan it for you. But but if you need any of the normal post office services, they will not help you.
Do they have the machines where you can like go in and buy postage and then drop off? No, they don't have that.
You cannot buy postage here. You can only, if you have a label on your product already, they will scan it and throw it in the bin.
Okay, so regarding post offices, I've learned a lot about post offices in my adult years. Now, I'll say this from the word go. I love post offices. Don't know why. Just love the old timiness of it. If you go to a real normal post office, it's not much different than it was on Little House on the Prairie. You bring in your stuff, you wait in line, you talk to a disinterested clerk. They take care of you and you leave. The Leesburg Post Office is cool because it is old enough that the post office boxes are converted from the kind that actually had combination dials on them.
Right.
You know, like the big brass front. Now they're keys, but they used to be the combination. I love my post office.
And they've probably changed the blue boxes like they did mine, where they've now welded a piece on the front of it so you can only put letters in it instead of the full pull-down flap, right?
Exactly, exactly. Now, most of my post office knowledge that came as a grown-up came from the P1 of all P1s, Sharon Bailey, who is high up in the post office business. And she was the one that arranged it. Now, the massive post office, anyone in the D.C., Northern Virginia area will know that Merrifield, which is essentially the annex of Gallows Road, Route 50, and Lee Highway, that's where the big, big post office is.
Okay.
That's the mama.
Right. That's where you go on tax day.
Exactly. And that's where you have the local news guy making pancakes or handing out Bufferin or doing whatever they do.
Chick-fil-A coupons. Yes. Yes.
Also, not really pertinent to the story, but Merrifield is where the old drive-in theater was, the Lee Highway drive-in, where legend has it I was conceived. So it's a great, there's no plaque.
What's that field now? Homes? Townhomes?
It's something technology related. I think there might be a movie theater there, but it's not a drive-in.
Okay.
So please, no screwing in the movie theater. That's the policy. But the big post office, it got to be great because when we started to really move fruitcakes, I guess like 9-10 years ago, and we were trying to figure out the best way to mail them, the first system was flawed, in which we actually baked the fruitcakes in the bakery in Maryland, shipped them back, brought them back by hand to Podville Media, where we boxed them, and then took them by hand cart one block away to the post office and dropped them off. This was a flawed system because we're moving them too much. So Sharon Bailey got involved, and she says, how about this? Box them up in a huge box. You can just drop them off at Merrifield. And I said, how does one do this? And she phoned ahead, and like at 10 p.m., we could drive into the Merrifield post office through a back entrance where post office trucks go, back up to the loading dock, and just give them all the fruitcakes.
That's
which was fantastic.
That's great.
Yeah. And then there were times that we had two batches, we could phone ahead and the people in Maryland would actually come and pick them up at the bakery. So we got really good at mailing. But back to the Leesburg post office, my home office. That's for years. We had a post office box for the Mike O'Mara Show at the Leesburg Post Office. I just love it. And I packed up all the items for the auction, the hoodie, the Elvis box set, all the things. And I was pleased I had enough boxes and proper packaging for everything. And because we recorded three, and we recorded two yesterday, so we didn't finish till nearly six.
We were late,
So by the time I got everything together, it was 7 o'clock. Post office is closed. But because it's a great post office, the lobby never closes. So I could go and go into the big drop-off box that has a huge thing that you pull down.
Yes.
Put the box in, lift it up, bum, 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 and it goes in, right? So I'm good to go, and I've got them all marked up with Post-it. It's going to be easy. Drive up there, get a perfect parking spot, even brought my own box, so I carry everything in. There's two of the big bins, and I pull the first one down, and it's, if you haven't seen it, it's hard to explain, but think if you would, like a cylinder, a big cylinder that a quarter of it is cut out. So when you pull the handle, it reveals the part of the cylinder that you can put the package in. And when it goes back up, it falls in.
And when it goes up, that open side points down, so everything falls into its big box.
In a perfect world, this is what happens. So the first one I go to, and I pull it down, and the cylinder doesn't spin. It just comes off of its hinge. This
what
is
do you
a
mean it
broken,
comes off of its hinge?
It, like, it doesn't spin. It just pulls out. It doesn't,
so it doesn't open up.
No, it doesn't. I said, well, that sucks. So I said, luckily, luckily there's a second one. Right. So I go over to the second one and I pull it. And some jerk, the last person who was there before me, who was gone, they put in a box that was just slightly too big and it's jammed. So
can I pull it?
No, I can only open it about a 3/4 of an inch before I hear the dead thud of cardboard against metal because the box is locking.
That's not your box. Just start banging that thing.
Well, you know, I started to think, what's the best way to handle this? I've got some that I could probably stuff, although it's not appropriate, in the metered mail slot for mailbox for letters. Some of it would fit in there, like the seatbelt extender and the Mike O'Mara headshot, they would fit in there. But the big things won't. So
now,
I'm glad
that,
when I use
I've used it many times because there is a second post office I'll go to that is next to the bin store.
Right.
So if I'm going to the bin store, I go and I put them in that big drop box. Mm-hmm. Now, when I flip the cylinder over, I always open it back up to make sure my packages fell.
This goes back to when I was a boy and you're using a blue metal mailbox. You always pull the flap down, put it in. You always
because
check.
Because otherwise, someone else can just take your package and walk away with it.
Even if it's something as simple as a letter, the last thing you want is for the system to be compromised. Never once did the letter not fall down. Because not only is it well-designed, it's got gravity on its side. It's going to work, folks.
Agreed.
But you always check.
But you
check. This jerk, my feeling right away, and I had a whole scenario in my head instantaneously. There's some pushy Leesburg woman that had to get this package mailed. She knew she jammed the cylinder. She knew it and left it.
I would think, like everyone else, she checks to see did her package fall, and she saw it was jammed.
And also, especially on the cylinder system, you hear it fall. You know, it's not like you close it, and it's not like a letter that goes foop, foop, foop. You hear.
Is there any chance it's too full so that package won't fall?
I don't think that that entered my mind because the package was jamming. I could see through the little crack that the package was what was jamming the cylinder.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking, I don't want to make this a wasted trip. Granted, it's only 2 miles. There's nothing to it.
But
and I had to go
annoying.
Out to pick up dinner anyway. So I'm thinking, what's the best way to do it? Well, I start, of course, bum, 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 was in the lobby of the post office.
Doesn't matter. It's now a video game or a vending machine where your candy won't drop. You have
because
to get it
this
moved.
This is a federal building. Josh, did I use all of my strength to rock the machine? Yes, I did.
So. Yes.
And when I say machine, I just mean big container. And when I heard that thing drop, there was a fist pump and an audibly loud yes, because right. I got it to fall. But
time for me to send in a request for the surveillance video.
Yeah, okay.
Does the Freedom of Information Act give me that?
I think so, probably. But who is the jerk that leaves their package stuck there?
Someone
that's selfish.
Think of others, or even doesn't even care about the person they are shipping the package to confirm that it went in.
It's just others, and they got the other problem I have with the post office experience now is you've used the machine where you can use your debit or credit card to print out your postage, right?
I have.
It's like a kiosk, right?
Correct.
And it's actually a pretty well-designed machine. They have a scale on it. It actually measures the package for you by putting it in a corner, and it gives you the exact number of stamps, the money you need to buy. I've sent many late fruitcakes using this. I've sent personal fruitcakes using this. But the problem with these machines is this. When you use it, and it calls up for address and who it's coming from and everything, you have to type everything on the glass keyboard that's on the touchscreen, which is slow. But then I got to thinking, when this label comes out with the postage on it, it has the return address, it has the where it's headed to address, and I've been at home typing a label to put on it already that's useless because I'm just repeating all the information.
Yeah.
So why would I, and this is, I guess, on me, I just need to learn to not address my postage when I take it to the kiosk because they do it for me.
There is no point to put a label on your box at home unless you are going online somewhere and paying for postage as well.
Correct. But my labels look so nice. here's trivia that you don't know, Josh, because you came after the what we like to call the fruitcake era of the Mike O'Mara show. A fruitcake box is exactly 4 inches by 4 inches by 7 inches.
Okay.
This is the perfect size box for a fruitcake. You can go to Uline and say, I want a 4x4x7. We even had a custom line of boxes run once, cut for us, that literally said fruitcake on the box.
I like
Very
that.
Very cool. But
little seems like a waste of money, but I like it.
Well, it was shiny and new if you catch
I would have just bought a stamp that said fruitcake and just stamp it like fragile.
Yeah, but that's not shiny and that's not new. That's not exciting. Okay. So we had all of those. So I have designed within my printer a perfect 4x7 inch label that fits the fruitcake box. And so when I use it, it looks great. But then it's just all wasted effort.
See, because,
so that's technology I dislike.
Because I ship so much stuff now, I have a 4x6 label printer. It just has a box of labels behind it, so I just print straight to that.
Are they adhesive? They adhere?
Yeah, they're stickers. They're just they're just what's that black ink that's heat like a receipt?
Oh yeah, or like almost like an old fax machine.
Right, exactly. So it just
temper paper to something. Yeah.
Well, that was the old fax machines. I think this is higher quality.
Well, I was going to say if you wait more than 2 days to mail it, the whole thing turns gray.
Right. Yeah, it's improved.
Did you ever have a fax machine?
I did.
Because, I did too.
Because my dad always had a home office.
Oh, so you had access. You didn't have your own.
No, I did not have my own. I had access to a fax machine. I never needed to go buy my own fax machine.
Back in the days of, as you know, I was producer of the Don and Mike show, a Heritage Radio show. I was producer for them, I believe, three times. Because I kept being named producer and then found inadequate and removed from the job.
Yeah, it's nice because they give you something and then it gives something that they can take away from you.
But apparently I wasn't so bad because I ended up getting the job again and again. But every morning I would have to wait to get a fax from Don that was today's show prep. And so I did have a fax, but it was a shitty fax machine, paper very curly, especially towards the end of the roll. And it would turn gray. But I did figure something out after drinking with my friend Brad one night. A great prank for someone who had a fax machine was to take a long piece of fax paper, probably like 3 feet, and write a hateful message on it, something like, you suck, or worse, and then tape it into a loop around the fax machine send and hit send, because it's a loop.
No, it's going to go nonstop.
It would never stop. And so the person would wake up in the morning and just get thousands and thousands of pieces of paper that said you suck. Exactly.
But by the time before we could implement there.
That's all right. I mean, of course, because you want credit for the gag, but before the gag became feasible to implement, fax machines became a non-issue. So that's why I didn't make a millionaire. I wouldn't become a millionaire on my fax machine prank.
I'm glad fax machines went away. They were noisy. You never knew if it truly sent. You
would send
it, and then you'd have to call the person. Did you receive it?
Yeah, and then you'd forget to check your fax machine.
Right. So people would not check it. If you had it in the office, coworkers would just throw out your old faxes.
Exactly.
Who needs that? It must be extra copies.
When they stopped making them, it was probably a tremendous hit to the Brother Corporation. They had to focus on printers.
Well, yeah. Brother and Epson both had fax machines back then.
Fax machine division. With my luck, that's where I would have ended up. I could have gotten a good job at Brother, but I've worked in the fax machine division. Anyway, long story short, too late. All of the auction items have been dispersed,
correct,
with the exception of dinners on the cruise. And and for those who have reached out about the King's Dominion trip, we're going to wait. We're going to do it in September when it's a little cooler and when Halloween Haunt is going on, because they changed the look of the park and it's fun. So we'll figure out when we're going to do that then. As far as the dinners on the cruise, do you know who your opponent is? Did you recognize the name? I know Mike's name, yeah.
Yes, I am. I have Tina Noble, who has requested
Great.
She has requested that her husband join as well.
Okay. So, and her husband, of course, is James Noble, who played Governor Gatling on the show Benson.
I would believe that guy would be dead by now. That sounds like an old show.
Yeah, it was an old show. And if you really want to get old, he played, I believe, a senator or a representative in the movie 1776. But that's ancient. Reverend Witherspoon, he played. So you're going to have that.
Another thing I've never seen.
You should. You know what? That'd be a great Hicks Nicks to make you do, because not only is it long, it's a musical to deal with American history.
1776 is a musical?
It's a musical about the Declaration of Independence.
Oh, okay.
I love it. One of my dream roles on stage would be to play Ben Franklin.
All right, maybe Independence Day, Hicks Nicks next year.
It would be Hicks Nicks Picks Firewicks, or Hicks Dependence Day for all the Hicks Nicks Sticks Pixies. But as far as Tina Noble, that's great. I think Mike's dinner guest is Terry Lettich, who is lovely and wonderful.
And you are Brian Schneier?
Yeah, but here's what throws me.
Yes.
Is that someone who is a big enough fan to come on the cruise, God bless you, that's fantastic. Someone who is beyond that, a big enough fan to bid on a meal with me.
I know your issue.
I don't know this guy.
And your issue is that he is not Facebook friends with you.
Yes. That's a huge issue.
You probably looked up to see who am I having dinner with.
I would be certain I would at least know the name. And so I don't. And because of this, it has an air of mystery, but also, should I be frightened? Because someone who's that big of a fan, don't you think, would make themselves known somehow before the bid was done? Are you Googling him now?
Yes, I was. It does not look like we are friends either. I don't see anything on Facebook.
Okay, you see? Brian Guy, reach out to me. I feel that I should at least exchange a brief text with you, or maybe even an electronic mail or a fax, so I know what your deal is, because I want to, be ready. I want to be a charming dinner companion. So
I'm sure it'll be fine.
I don't know.
It'll be fun. It'll be fun.
Have you ever seen a burial at sea? You may get one, because he might kill me between the appetizer and the main course.
No, it doesn't matter. The cruise will be fun.
Well, the cruise will be fun.
And you can be worried about your dinner. I'm sure it'll be fine.
Adam Joyce.
It's not like it's a private dinner in like some alley somewhere. You're going to be in a big ballroom with other people.
Unless he arranges for that. It'll be like in a recent movie we both watched, Strangers on a Train. Let's just take dinner in my cabin. That would be a warning sign. I would stay away from that.
Is that an option?
I don't know. I don't know what Brian's got on his mind. Adam M. Joy, we always enjoy your comments, and thank you for the 10-jewel donation and the comment, happy poop. And who doesn't want that? So the auction stuff is out there. And if you missed out, I do believe, rumor has it, I've heard it around the old water cooler, that there may be another auction come Christmas time.
I don't think
so. I'm just teasing.
I don't think so.
I've got another bowling shirt. Got to get rid of it. So
save it.
Keep in mind that it could happen, and requests could be made. A movie that you and I have been talking about behind the scenes, and I'm more excited about it than I probably ought to be, because as Carrie has told me, she says, "You know what the problem with you is?" And I said, "I don't have much time." But what? She says, "Everything you do is something you would have done when you were 12." She said, "You really haven't progressed since
That's
you were 12 years old."
Thought process about, yes, I don't think 12 for me, but
what,
I think,
what would
yes,
be your age?
Probably 20, 22.
What do you do that is a 22-year-old that a 12-year-old wouldn't? And I have to take drinking out of it because I don't do that anymore.
Yeah, and I don't. I think the fact that I am so passionate about the Orioles. I think
you loved baseball when you were 12.
I did when I was 12 also.
Yeah.
I think my music styles is all stuck to where I was 20, 21,
okay.
22.
Because that's when you were doing punk rock, Christian
faith
music.
Yeah, so I'm all
music,
in that.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
What music did you listen to when you were 12?
I didn't listen to music when I was 12.
Okay.
No.
I did. But I was lucky. I was a teen in the 80s. I had a great era of music to listen to.
No, so. I drove with my parents, and so in their radio it was like Rush Limbaugh or
shocking.
I think on WBAL it was Ron Smith in the afternoons.
So your dad was
listening to Ron
grooming
Smith.
You.
Yes. Republican radio.
Republican grooming. But,
and then if I rode with my mom, it was like the K-Love equivalent of today. It's K-Love everywhere, but they had independent, like, oh, you know what? WAVA. Before it flipped stations was one that was in our car radio when it was
great.
Christian music.
Okay. It was, well, I was thinking of WAVA when it was a top 40.
Exactly. I'm talking
great,
about.
Great. Yeah, you were in the middle
that.
Part there. What sounds like what you were listening to are what were called full service radio stations. And by the time you were around, they had all been relegated to AM. Even when I was a kid, they were AM. But they would do the time, the weather, the traffic, talk. They might occasionally play a song, right?
But I would love to have a WBAL because they would do the school closings in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
They would play the Orioles in the evenings. So that you'd have the occasional sports talk in there as well. So it always worked out. And a
heritage station, which probably didn't, well, especially at night. I mean, WBAL, you could probably pick up in the Midwest, but WBAL,
New York often.
Why would anyone in New York be listening to Baltimore radio?
I don't know, but I'd be up there on
greatest,
like a vacation.
The
and
greatest
I on
market
the
in the world. You could be listening to the greatest stations in the world.
Because it's nighttime and I want to hear my Orioles break my heart again.
Well, you see, what you should have done is stayed in Baltimore and listened to WABC, which you could have, again, because of the ionosphere bounce. But it probably didn't matter to you that WBL was a heritage station.
Right,
so.
No. But when you were 12, we want to talk about Coyote versus Acme. That's what we're getting to now, right?
We're getting there, yeah.
Because 12, you loved Looney Tunes.
Still do, to this day. They put out 5 editions of original Looney Tunes. Each edition has 4 DVDs, and I think each DVD has like 20 cartoons on it. So we're looking at 80 times, like 400 Looney Tunes / Merry Melody cartoons that I have on DVD in my home at any time. And I've watched them my entire life. Channel 20 used to run them, and they were a big thing. Adam with 10 more jewels and happy poop again. Thank you. It, again, that is something that I would have watched when I was 12. This very week, I got out my DVDs of the Dukes of Hazzard because, Cooter died, Ben Jones.
Because you watched it when you were 12.
And I watched it when I was 12. That might have been what brought up the conversation, yeah.
I love Looney Tunes as well.
Okay.
Because
they do transcend time. They really do.
They do. And I wish my kids could get into them because I want my kids to go to want to, I want to go as a family and see Coyote versus Acme because I've seen the trailer. And as a guy who loves Looney Tunes, loves every variation of Looney Tunes with real people in it.
Space Jam, you were a fan?
Space Jam, a fan. The Brendan Fraser.
Oh, I like the Brendan Fraser. Was there a second Space Jam?
Yeah, that Space Jam 2 with LeBron. That was fine.
I guess I probably could have guessed that it would have been called Space Jam 2. That would be the second one. Yeah, that makes sense. But just so before we have the trailer, we're going to look at it. Just so you know that Looney Tunes, when you talk about transcending time, when my grandparents dated before World War II, my grandfather, Big Daddy, would call the movie theater before they would go see a movie. They were dating, and he wanted to make sure that there was a Looney Tunes or Merry Melody cartoon up front before the feature so that he got to see a Bugs Bunny cartoon. So, I mean, it was important enough for who is relatively considered a serious guy. It's a natural thing, and it's been in my family for almost 100 years now.
And that was a feature shown off in Who Framed Roger Rabbit, as they showcased how they would show them cartoons before real movies.
Yeah, and it's like we explained to you before, short subjects, a newsreel and a cartoon.
Yes.
Did you like Roger Rabbit?
I loved Roger Rabbit.
I did too.
I believe it was two Halloweens I went as Roger Rabbit.
Because you still had the costume?
Maybe, yeah.
You should have called me. You know what? I would have been a great Eddie Valiant to your Roger
you
Rabbit.
Been. You would have been.
Yeah. I wouldn't want to be Jessica Rabbit, but Eddie I could do. Or baby, what's his name? Not but baby Huey.
I don't know the baby's name.
It'll come.
But have you seen this trailer yet?
I have watched it, but I want to see it again. So, folks, pop your popcorn and get your Acme brand anvil, and let's take a look at this trailer.
You know why I like them? They don't try to 3D it up for a live action.
Yeah, you're right. Acme brand roller skates.
Have you been horribly injured by a product made by the Acme Corporation?
It's not your fault. There's probably someone to blame.
Name of the case is Coyote versus Acme.
Wile E. Coyote. He is reckless. We all know who's responsible, and all of his injuries are self-inflicted.
Settling Acme cases for years.
I could probably get you $250 for that.
This is your opportunity to really show people what you're capable of.
These companies think they can do whatever they want. We're sick of it.
Acme! Acme! You!
Nothing to see here.
We really have nothing.
We both know it would be very unpleasant if anything bigger were to become public.
What is up, Doc?
The Acme Corporation is releasing this film for accounting purposes only. We do not condone any of the storylines depicted.
I will go see that on the day it opens.
So,
and, you know, I never leave the home.
This movie got shelved a few years ago.
Because they're going to just take it as a write-off, right?
They said it was a $30 million tax write-off. So they were going to shelve this movie and not put it out to save $30 million. The reason it's coming out now is because another company, we saw it on the sign, like Ketchup something.
Yeah, Ketchup Productions.
Bought it. Yeah, they bought it for $50 million. They bought the rights to it.
Well, I think they're going to make
more than $50 million.
In the first weekend, it will. And then you're not even talking about, this is a brilliant vehicle for merchandising. Everything for all people.
True.
Because for 100 years there's been people watching these cartoons. It's gonna appeal to every age level. Plus, you've got John Cena, who is money
you've got
in the
stars
bank.
In this movie.
Will Forte. And you know, I actually have in my office. You don't see it because it's to my right. A framed picture
of Will Forte
that is a memorial to Mel Blanc, the guy who did all the voices originally.
Yes.
The reason I think this is going to work and it's got an edge over Roger Rabbit is that when Roger Rabbit came out, 1987, I think, right about there, is that the mixture of animation and live action and the backgrounds and everything, it was still sort of a gimmick. I mean, I know it goes back to like Mary Poppins and all that stuff, but this, it looks so natural. It looks like a real movie. When they did that opening sequence with the Acme roller skates and they set it in a real desert, it's beautiful.
It looked great.
It looks fantastic. Yeah.
What and that's why I don't understand. Like, this was shelved at the same time that they shelved that Batgirl movie, and everyone was very clear on trashing, oh, Batgirl didn't work. They were going to lose money anyway. No one has said anything bad about this movie.
Have
it
you
got
seen
shelved.
Yeah.
And reviews are out. The first reviews came out. I think it comes out. Does it come out this weekend or next
weekend?
It
said the 28th, I think. Right, so it'll be a week from
I saw that. I was reading this morning the first like critic reviews are coming out. And right now it's got like 25 reviews on Rotten Tomatoes.
And
it's got a 100% score.
You see, that's great. Now, the skeptic in me would almost say this whole shelving and bringing it back was a marketing ploy.
But
I don't think
Warner Brothers
was.
Isn't making the money. This ketchup company is now making the money.
Who owns ketchup, though?
Oh, I don't know.
Don't
you
say
think
Heinz.
It's a subsidiary of
Warner
Brothers?
What? I'm too old and tired to do the detective work. But it does sound awfully suspicious. I do hope it's a success because I think it's a great property, and I'm happy to see it stay alive like that. By the way, you mentioned Batgirl. Have you seen any... it's all over when I turn on the streaming apps on my TV. Supergirl, have you seen the Supergirl movie?
I have seen the Supergirl movie.
And?
Not for me.
Yeah, I got
not
a problem. There's a thing now with with some female actresses. They've got like a particularly strong jaw, and this Supergirl has it, where it looks like that if they were to smile, they're wearing braces, but they're not wearing braces. Does that make sense? Like, they've got, like, their lips that stick out a little bit. I don't know if it's a trend in beauty or whatever, but it's troubling
probably,
to me.
It's a beauty trend.
Okay, well, you know what? It's not great. I don't care for it.
Did I think I took my daughter to see Supergirl. She liked it. Because I take her to see all the superhero movies, and she is 21.
I thought that was strictly a Marvel thing for you, but that was a DC property.
It's mostly Marvel, but she wanted
to
see
Supergirl.
Well,
that's, I guess, because that's mostly what the movies are.
Yeah, so she wanted to see Supergirl, so I took her. And it's just, it wasn't for me. It didn't entertain me. I found lots of issues with the movie, but she loved it. She liked it.
Good.
So,
you know what? They're not catering to us anymore, Josh. They're certainly not catering to me. That's why Acme is going to be, it's going to be fun that it's something that applies to us. Do you have, and we need to take a break here, but before we close the topic here, do you have a favorite superhero movie? Going back for your entire life. Because I actually saw some of the early Marvel films. Like, I liked Iron Man. I thought Iron Man was great.
I think the first Captain America is probably my favorite.
Okay.
And then I liked Civil War. I thought was very good as well. So I liked the first generation of the Avengers. I liked a lot of them.
To emphasize my age, my favorite is, for years, it was the first and second Superman with Christopher Reeve. But... when it comes to the movie that I have seen in the theater more times than any other movie is the original Michael Keaton Batman. I think I saw it in the theater 12 times.
Yeah, I can't complain about that one. That's great.
And it is almost perfect, and it even drove me to go see The Flash when The Flash came out.
I
which
did the
was
same thing, to see just the to 5 minutes of Michael Keaton.
Yeah, it wasn't a good movie, and it troubled me because The Flash himself reminded me of Jimmy Fallon, which ruined the movie for me. But the Michael Keaton stuff was great. We don't have a lot of stars anymore. I think Michael Keaton is still a movie star.
I will share with you, back to Looney Tunes.
Yes.
Before we take a break.
Thank you for keeping me linear. Yes. Appreciate it.
Well, I'm trying to, I want to, as we were talking Looney Tunes, I thought about this. I used to own a 6-foot Bugs Bunny, like stuffed animal. And I don't know where it came from. It was just always there my entire life.
Okay.
And at some point, there was a time where, again, 18, 19, 20, I'm home alone. parents are away or everyone's out of town
you're
or
not
something.
You're not going to creep me out with this story, are you?
I get home from work. I can tell you it was probably like 1, 2 in the morning because it was coming home from working at Blockbuster.
Okay.
And I come in the house and I turn into my bedroom and in the doorway is a person standing there in the doorway. And I freak out because I walk in, you're going straight to your bedroom. You don't turn right. on any lights in the house.
No, and you know the route. Yeah.
I fall backwards over like a pile of laundry that was behind me. And then that's when I realize because I kicked the man and it falls on top of me and realize that my friends have came in while I'm at work and tied up Bugs Bunny right in my doorway. One, two, then completely freak me out at 2 in the morning.
Those were not your friends. Those were not friends. A friend wouldn't do that. A friend wouldn't do that.
Perhaps.
I used to have a cardboard cutout of Willard Scott that you could use.
Oh, I'm sure you could do the same thing.
You could, but it wasn't as charming, and it wasn't stuffed, which is nice. I've got some stuff to talk about that's actually current events that leads into this program. And, Josh, I hope you pretend to be interested because it's coming up after this. We'll take a break. What's that?
Tidbits.
It's not tidbits. We're not doing... This is what this is. This is a tidbit. It is one thing, and we'll be back after this on the Mike O'Mara Show.
There are a lot of great things to do in the ocean. Surfing, swimming, crabbing, skin diving. But no one can hold a candle to the TMOS 2027 cruise. Let's go sailing! This time it's a better price, a longer trip, and more notice. Join Mike, Rob, and Josh and your fellow Americans aboard the all-new Margaritaville at Sea Islander, sailing January 21, 2027. Enjoy 5 days and 4 nights of laughs, a live podcast recording, meet and greet, tropical weather in the dead of winter, and plenty of time to unwind. Plus, on-ship tattoos and buffets. Do them both at the same time. Departing from Tampa, you'll get 2 relaxing days at sea, a Saturday stop in beautiful Cozumel, and 1 final chill day before heading home on a Monday. Call 800-814-7100. Full details are at tmospodcast.com. Just click store. Book now and lock in your price, and we'll see you under the sun.
Now, there's some chatter in the chat room.
Yes.
We are live today. If you want, I can hold up an issue of today's paper.
Is there concern we're not live?
Yeah, well, they think that this is some sort of scam. We're not scamming you. We talked yesterday on the show that this was going to be a jar show today,
yes.
Josh and Rob.
This is not a producer's club. That is still Friday.
No. And this is going to be a Thursday thing moving forward for the time being. So enjoy our time together. As Carol Burnett would say, we're so glad we had this time together. This is the essentially third week in August. Josh, does the third week in August mean anything to you, especially if I were to say the third week in August, 1977? It's
well,
49 years ago. Yeah.
That
before
would be
you were
3 years
born,
before
I
was born.
I know. You love saying
so,
that.
No, I don't know.
Because
don't know anything about August.
We have very different algorithms on our socials. This, I can't escape it, is the 49th anniversary of the passing. This is Elvis Death Week. And there's
Who?
Lots of stuff. Elvis Presley. He was the king of rock and roll. Notable singer. He had quite a few hit records. Yeah.
But Elvis Durbeck's still with us, right?
Yes, and Elvis Duran and Elvis Costello. And, of course, Mexican Elvis impersonator Elvez, who I have seen in concert, but that's for another time. So this is Elvis Death Week. This was a big deal on the old show that we would do an all-Elvis show talking about what a disaster Elvis is. But I enjoyed that, but I always was a true Elvis fan. I love his music.
Well, that's my question for you. You love Elvis.
I do.
But you also make jokes about him being a mess at the end.
Yeah, it's hard not to, because he was.
But does that take away from any of your love of Elvis?
It doesn't, because the body of work he left behind is so extraordinary that I think it can take the occasional dart. His life really does play out, sadly, without getting too deep, like a Greek tragedy. He was a flawed hero. And he did, you know, you can say and make accusations about the racial climate in America in the mid-50s and that he might have stolen his music from other cultures. But The fact is, before Elvis, before Ed Sullivan put him on television, it was unacceptable to have rock and roll music in a white household. It paved the way for other black artists to be acceptable and to be mainstream. He was key, believe it or not, in getting America to get vaccinated. He did his, I think it was the flu vaccine or polio, I guess, the polio vaccine. Oh. He was vaccinated live on television to prove that it was okay.
I've seen people do that before.
Okay, it's a little different than then. He went into the army to prove he was a true patriot. And you know, it cost America millions and millions of dollars in tax money because of the pay cut he took. Because he went from paying taxes on millions and millions of dollars of income for 2 years to being taxed on like $42 a week.
Right.
So, there, and the music, it speaks for itself. And also, for a long time, it worried me as an Elvis fan because his fan base was literally dying. You know, they're aging out and they're dying. But a couple events have happened recently. The release three, four years ago of the Austin Butler Elvis movie, I think, kind of explained a lot about what Elvis was. But more so for the Elvis fan of today, that movie Epic that Baz Luhrmann released in February.
Now, I thought that was just a concert video.
It is, but he made it tell a story. He interspersed it with Elvis interviews. He put it in order, and it told the story of Elvis. And also, the way they were able to use modern technology to re-engineer Elvis's live recordings, which as a rule are pretty sloppy. Great music, but sloppy. Like, I was sitting in a theater, and I had never heard the rhythm guitar in an Elvis concert before. Never heard it, because it gets lost behind the horns and Elvis screaming and the backup singers. Baz Luhrmann re-engineered the music, so the soundtrack to Epic is probably the best Elvis live album of a concert that never happened. It's just amazing what they did.
Are these movies helping younger people appreciate Elvis or find Elvis?
I think so. Robert saw the Baz Luhrmann movie with me once, but he watched the Austin Butler movie three times because it's good storytelling and the music is good and it's fun. And again, when all is said and done, I think that history will reflect a guy that was an amazing singer, good-looking guy, and I think you're going to start to forget the peanut butter and banana sandwich Percocet era of Elvis at the very end. And Graceland has always sort of buried that part of it anyway, and I'm sorry that he got to be old and fat and purple. That's really disappointing. I'd love to know where he would have gone. I always felt that Elvis would have become an older country singer, like Johnny Cash sort of had a resurgence at the end of his life. That's where I think Elvis would have landed. But all that to say this, it is Elvis Death Week, and they named the ultimate Elvis tribute artist this week at Graceland, which they do every year. And it's nice for whoever wins it because this is an Elvis impersonator, or as they say, an ETA, Elvis tribute artist. God knows I've seen a lot of them, worked with one that was great, Michael Hoover. But this allows them to actually mention Graceland, and when they're promoting themselves, they're like endorsed. So it went to a guy named Finley Watkins, and this is him. He kind of looks like him at a distance. He won $20,000 and the title. But here's the thing about Finley. He's 18 years old.
He looks very young.
He is very young.
Okay.
Now, this is funny and a little surreal when they're announcing the winner of the Elvis Tribute Artist. Because, you know, like at the end of Miss America, when you have 10 of the most beautiful women in America standing on a stage waiting to see who wins.
It's all Elvis.
It's 10 jumpsuits in a row.
And the winner of the 2026 Ultimate Elvis Tribute Artist Contest.
Judges.
Finley Watkins!
Because he is the youngest and best looking of the Elvises on stage.
Oh, yeah.
So if there's a fan vote, he's getting the fan vote.
I think it's a panel assembled by Graceland, because also it benefits Graceland to have a young guy be the winner.
That's true.
He doesn't just do jumpsuit Elvis. He was beautiful. He was in the Aztec jumpsuit, but he also does young Elvis. Here's a little clip from Wisconsin, maybe? Missouri. And here's a clip from his local TV station.
New this morning, the 2026 Ultimate Elvis Tribute Artist was named last night, and the winner is from the Heartland. Talking about 18-year-old Finley Watkins is an award-winning Elvis Tribute Artist, and he's from Burney, Missouri. And he faced fierce competition to secure that title at the iconic singer's home last night in Graceland.
So we can see that he has the moves and the looks of the young Elvis, but what troubled me is, can he sing like Elvis? And this is the clip they put out. I think this is pretty remarkable. He's not as accurate as some, but for an 18-year-old, this is pretty good. I chose a song I thought you'd know, Josh. How Great Thou Art.
Yeah, I get it. It's a hymn.
Yeah. Elvis loved it.
He does sound great.
For 18, now, I give it a 10. I think he's sensational.
How much have you looked into this kid?
Quite a bit. Right. He also does like movie era Elvis. I'm sorry.
Did you know he was on television before?
Oh, yeah. He's been doing it since he was a kid.
And I was going to say, because I have a clip here of him on The Ellen Show.
Oh, I didn't know it goes that far back.
At the age of 12, I believe.
Oh, let's take a look.
Eight?
Okay. Take a peek.
Hold on. I hear the audio. There we go.
Thank you very much.
From Bernie, that doesn't look like Elvis.
Finley Watkins.
Oh, that's
tell
Ellen.
Tell everyone the difference and tell me the difference between a tribute artist and an impersonator.
So he's been doing this for over 10 years.
Well, if you're a tribute artist, well, you pay his tribute to the Elvis, but there's only one Elvis and there's only one true king. So we just try to honor Elvis.
Yes, you are right. He was the king. So you're 8 years old.
Yeah.
So how old were you when you got interested in this?
I was 4 years old. Mm-hmm. I was 4 years old.
And how'd that happen?
I've been playing guitar since I was four, but we were going on a family vacation, and I saw a billboard of Elvis, and then I went home and I looked him up. But whenever I was looking him up, I just felt Elvis in my soul. I just felt like I should do him.
He's better than Alex Miller.
He's great. Let me see. Do they have a clip of him? Yeah, here we go. Fast-forwarding a little bit.
Like here when he's a kid performing?
Here he is performing on The Ellen Show at the age of
eight. Oh, wow. Okay. Okay. Hater. Hater.
It makes me excited that this kid won, like, the ultimate championship.
When to have that kind of pat, absolutely. It's so, so cool. Now, here he is doing, like, this is movie era Elvis, 1962-3. And this is from a movie from Girl. This is from, the song was in Girl Happy.
Michigan State, MIT.
He really does sound like him.
Harvard University. Vassar, Wells, Smith, and Brown. Shake it up, this here town tonight. Start tonight.
Got the moves.
Have a wandering on, start tonight.
This is like a kid that finds baseball and is obsessed with it for his entire life to this point.
So congratulations to Finley Watkins. I think that's really cool. The death day is actually going to fall on Saturday this year, the 16th. It'll be 49 years since Elvis passed. I guess you probably don't remember where you were because you weren't born yet.
Non-existent. Not a thought.
But true story, my parents had tickets to see Elvis, but he died. He was going to play a gig in New Jersey, and he never made it. So that's sad, right? So as a tribute, you know,
we
do. Did
they get a refund?
Judging from knowing Colonel Tom Parker, probably not. But because we haven't done anything for Elvis' death day in at least a year, I know we didn't do anything last year, we do the TMOS Classic every Friday. This Friday, we're going to bring back one time, one off, a Rob Radio. I'm going to do a couple hours of Elvis music because some new Elvis music has broken this year with the release of the movie. And if you've never listened to Elvis's finest recordings, and there's a real reason you probably haven't, because you know what? It just people don't anymore. I'm going to bring you some of his best stuff, and I hope you check it out because it should be a lot of fun.
You know, there's like been it. A... And we'll have to see how Rob Radio goes, because I've noticed this...
Downloads is how it's going to go.
No, but here's the issue. Music copy protection. We've had the issue on YouTube. Now Spotify is also starting to clamp down on podcasts that play music. So I've seen episodes get pulled of, not of the Michael Mara Show yet, but of other podcasts because they play music or whatever. So we have to be careful with that. Rob Radio might end up... a future onto TikTok, I've been thinking.
Okay, because TikTok, you can play music,
allows
right?
people to play music. And you and I have had a great idea for TikTok.
Yes. But are we going to share it yet? Or
I thought we could share the jukebox
now. Okay, yeah. Okay, this is fun. This is more music related. And I mean, we've been talking and talking, and we've done thousands and thousands of hours, literally, of talking on this show. But Mike got his start, and I got inspired originally by music radio. I love music radio. Love hearing music on the radio. You don't hear it good anymore. I guess XM has some, but not really. So I forget where we were going with it, how we got there, but I was talking about the fact that I do own a jukebox, a classic 1962 jukebox. Her name is Darlene. And it's fun because not only is it a great way to listen to 45 RPM records, it is a Wurlitzer, and you can actually see the action of the records changing, which to me is hypnotic. It's robot music machine is what it is. So we want to do a TikTok, a live TikTok, where people watch, and we will have a camera so you can see the selections, and you can choose the songs we play. And I can comment or talk up the records or even talk about them as they do it. And it'll be the debut of Rob Radio Jukebox Rock.
Yeah, and more importantly, we get to watch the glow of the jukebox and the mechanics as it picks up the album and moves it and loads it that we all remember from
our
childhood.
But it is a record. Yes.
A record. Sorry.
Yeah. Well, an album, because like a photo album, I don't even want to get into it. They're not 12-inch LPs. They're 7.5-inch, 45 RPM records. So,
gotcha.
I have one here. Hold on.
Well, we can watch it pick up the piece of plastic and move it over and put the needle on and play it. I think it'd be a lot of fun. Maybe it would translate to something we could do on like a bonus show type private members feed where we don't need to worry about copy protection. But I think TikTok is the perfect home for this in interaction.
And I have between 15 and 20,000 45s.
Yeah,
so,
but there's not that many in the
jukebox. But I mean, well, there's 50. So per show, I could reload it is what I'm saying if we did than one. But this is rather historic. This is on the Robert Stigwood Organization label. This is Rick Dees, famous disc jockey, his novelty record, Disco Duck, which, by the way, features an Elvis impression. This is the first 45 I ever bought. Right here, and I still own it.
That's pretty
you
cool.
want to talk about being a hoarder? That's it, right there. I bought it at Giant Music on Broad Street in Falls Church.
But I think of hoarders as people who don't appreciate what they have and just hold on to everything.
Oh, no, I love everything I have.
And I know you value everything. I'm thinking about your jukebox show.
Okay.
This is so good for TikTok. You could load that thing up with Halloween music.
Sure.
And you could do it three nights in a row. You could do Halloween weekend.
Oh, I would do
that. Same 50 songs, but in whatever order the commenters want.
Finally, you found an angle. I just randomly last night, I said to Carrie, I said, I hate Halloween. But that would make something
No,
I love
that would make it fun.
It would make it fun, but I'm still not handing out candy. Screw
no,
that.
But you need to be in costume.
Okay. I've been on Team Move putting together a possible costume.
Oh, okay.
I think you will appreciate it. Shall I reveal it? Because
Mike's not going to hear this.
Freddy from Scooby-Doo.
All right.
The hard thing was finding the orange kerchief for my
neck. Now, you know what would irritate?
I will have to buy a wig. What? Yeah.
You know what would irritate Mike?
What's that?
If we didn't tell Mike ahead of time and our costumes matched.
Well, who would you? Didn't. Would you be Velma?
Yes. I don't remember all the characters.
Now, I would prefer, actually, and I know you could do it because you could buy it and return it, is Scooby.
I could do
Scooby. I've seen the costumes where, like, they cut the face out, but still have Scooby's head on top.
Yeah, but let's be real. Mm-hmm. Mike would need to be Scooby because he could get the voice.
No, I would want Mike to be the, evil pharmacist. That was also
that
the ghost.
That we get to rip the mask off of.
Yeah, and he said, and I would have gotten away with it if it hadn't been for that meddling Robin Josh and their stupid dog. All right, so Jukebox Rock, we're going to consider it. Elvis Radio tomorrow will happen. I'd like to see some feedback in the chat room. If you have an Elvis song you want to hear, please let me know, because I'll play the hits, also play obscure stuff and things from the new album from Elvis Epic that I think you're going to enjoy. Speaking of Halloween, nightmares. I had a weird dream last night, and Josh has a nightmare he wants to talk about.
Well, no. I'm enjoying a nightmare.
Well, I'm saying, but you want to talk about it.
Right,
a nightmare is not as scary if it belongs to someone else.
I do want to talk about someone's nightmare.
So we'll take a break, and we'll be back and talk Nachtmars right here on the Mike O'Mara Show.
Some of the greatest things in history have come from great pairings, but none of them can compare to the newest partnership that's the talk of the town. Also the county. It's the one you've been waiting for. The Mike O'Mara Show and Jimmy's Old Town Tavern. It's your chance to try the award-winning Jot Hot Wing Sauce. It's easy to bring the great taste of Jimmy's to your own home, no matter where you live. Just go to jimmystavern.com and click on Jot Wing Sauce to order a bottle of the world's best buffalo wing sauce. You can also click the link at tmospodcast.com. Jot Hot pairs perfectly with anything and everything. May we recommend wings? Celery, blue cheese, an ice cold beverage. It's like having Jimmy in your own home. Well, maybe. Coloring book not included. Even better, you can support the show and save a dollar when you enter the code TMOS at checkout. All hail the king of the wings. Go to jimmystavern.com and stock up. Support Jimmy, support us. It'll be okay. And remember, please sauce responsibly.
Programming note, timing would work out better, Josh, if we skipped the last commercial break. Is that going to penalize anybody today?
Did you see the text message I was about to send?
I did
you?
Not. No, oh, no, I did I, not send it. Okay, great.
Same idea. Yes.
Okay, two things real quick before we talk nightmares. First off, I had Jot Hot this morning with my breakfast. Outstanding.
Would you put it on eggs? Eggs
actually,
and hash browns?
I had leftover Popeyes from last night. And you know
breakfast.
What? Well, I mean, leftover fried chicken warmed in the oven, and then you dip it in Jot Hot? Forget
sure,
it. It's fantastic.
I'm not saying anything about it not tasting good.
Yeah. There were no leftover red beans and rice, but the chicken was left. And to Joey Bag of Donuts, 2074, who says, for F's sake, he's dead. He's speaking
but
about
Finley
Elvis.
But Finley isn't.
I would like for you to keep in mind, Joey, keep ignoring the past. It seems to work so well in the present, doesn't it? Kind of speaks to where we are in America. A look back at history doesn't really hurt. That's all. That's all I'm going to say. That's it. You know what, Joey? Watch 1776. Great musical.
I
learned some history.
Rob, I told you I wanted to talk about Mike's nightmare.
Yes,
because
of course.
I tried to get Mike to talk about it on the bonus show, but it was really late in the bonus show. And so that'll come out.
Well, also,
tonight,
no one really wants to talk about their own nightmares if
but
it's
he shared
unpleasant.
With us. He shared with us early in the week that his nightmare is that his Red Sox are going to suck and that
because
they're going
to
feel really bad.
Now,
they
for
lost
someone who is an outside, from an outsider looking in, a casual observer, which is what I am, the Sox had a horrible beginning.
Yes.
Then they had an amazing run. Was it like 14 wins in
they
a row?
They had a record set in July.
Which is like unheard of in Major League Baseball.
Best record in baseball in July by far.
So that was incredible. And so Mike started, as he does every year. I've worked with him over 30 years. It's always, he starts thinking, this is the year. This is the year. This is the year.
They made the move. They got my catcher.
They got your catcher with the weird name.
They gave up four of their top 10 prospects to get this catcher.
It's like they were, you know what? It's
they
like they were
also.
As... The Red Sox were as hungry to go all the way as the Orioles were dismissive of it.
Right. Well, it's like Mike ran the organization because as soon as Mike got hot, they also got excited and said, oh, this is it. We're all in.
And Mike said he has this nightmare that even after this game life-changing July, things are going to go bad.
He brought this up on Monday. And I believe on Monday they lost, let's see. They lost two in a row on Monday. And that was his concern.
A doubleheader when they give them both up. Oof.
Well, no. I think they lost, Saturday and Sunday.
So coming in on
Monday's show, they lost two in a row. Mm-hmm. As of right now, they have lost five in a row. They are spiraling down. And you know Mike is not happy about this.
Is that record setting, five in a row?
Not yet, but I'm hoping it continues.
Wow. Well, Mike, I'm sorry about your nightmare. My team's
not
very
good. My team's not good either. My team's probably going to miss the playoffs, but I am enjoying seeing the spiral after Mike brought up that's his nightmare.
Well, you know, I mean, Mike is a sports fan who enjoys the struggle, and he sort of saw it coming, and he's struggling again.
Yes.
Since you are probably today, between the two of us, the bigger sports expert, I'd like for you to comment on this. Hi, Procam says the Mariners are now well below 500.
Yeah.
What do you think about the Mariners this year?
The Mariners are not good either. But the Mariners got my outfielder, Taylor Ward. So maybe the curse is if you traded for an Orioles player, you're going to fall apart.
It's almost like a weird Modern Family situation where you have relatives in every town now. You're just spreading all your relatives, all your family around. Is the Mariners the stupidest name in baseball for an organization?
No. The Los Angeles Angels is the stupidest name. Not because
Angels is a bad name,
but because they can't make up their mind with their town. As my childhood, they were the California Angels.
They became
the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim, and then they became the Los Angeles for a small portion, they were the Anaheim Angels.
Did you just drop a ball like you were playing for the area? My phone fell.
But then now they are currently the Los Angeles Angels, but their stadium is in Anaheim. So there is now a law that passed all the steps that it'll be on Governor Newsom's desk, I guess, this week for him to sign, which will require the Los Angeles Angels to be called the Anaheim Angels if they're ever sold or bought by someone else.
So when they were the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim, this is a very long name.
Yes.
Almost like what the Catholic Church did when they found out there was 18 St. John's churches in Virginia and they all had to pick up extra words. The St. John's church I went to in McLean, Virginia is now St. John's the Beloved. And if you bring it up to an older church member, they're screw that. We're not St. John's the Beloved. We're St. John's.
Right.
They get very territorial about their Catholic churches.
And that's why I have trouble with the Angels. Not because their name was problematic. It's not like the Indians change into the Guardians.
Right.
I understand that move.
But as a religious guy, as a man of faith, does it bother you that they were calling themselves angels?
No. And I don't
not real angels.
No. But I am more mad that it's city politics that makes them keep changing their name.
Okay.
And someone, I don't know anyone in Anaheim, but you must have a real stick stuck up somewhere in the city of Anaheim to have this much that you have to have a law passed to make sure your city name is in the name of the team.
You are because such stadium, a shock jock.
This is like Landover. If Landover suddenly needed to be the Washington Commanders of Landover.
Yeah, and
because the stadium's there.
I feel so bad for people that watch a national game that features the Commanders / Washington football game / Redskins when they say it's a home game and they show the Washington Monument and the Capitol. They don't realize that Landover is 30 miles away from
them. No, they should show the Beltway and the parking lot that is on the other side of the Beltway. So you have to take the bus across.
I would like a big shot of the church that says praise the Lord in 40 foot letters that shares the parking lot with the stadium.
Okay, yes.
I'd like that. I like that. So as far as Mike's nightmare goes, that's fine. I started taking a supplement, and I'm trying to find it. It's a magnesium brand but it's some kind of magnesium. I don't have the name here.
Is it supposed to help you sleep?
What it does is it quiets the mind. You have the same thing, is that when we lay down, our minds tend to race. And one thing is I come up with some pretty decent ideas when I'm asleep, but it does keep me up at night. So this is to calm that down. And, but one of the side effects of this is it makes me have crazy dreams. And I had some weird ass dreams last night to the point that I wanted to talk them out when I woke up because I knew I'd forget them.
Okay.
So,
I like dreams.
I do too. But I was on vacation with a bunch of people that normally I wouldn't vacation with. One was a generic radio guy. I don't know who it was. It was just a guy that was in radio. One was my Uncle Pete, my father's twin. Carrie was there. Mike was there, and we were in this big beach house that had all kinds of shelving with toys and electronics on it, and there was a song we kept singing, and it was gadgets and food and electronics too. This is the best vacation ever. And then we said, what are we going to eat? And they said, don't worry, we've got all these boxes of cereal. And I looked on the shelf next to the remote control planes, and there was rows and rows of boxes of cereal. And I grabbed one that I liked. It doesn't matter what it was. And I opened it. And when I poured it into the bowl, puzzle pieces came out. It wasn't cereal. Okay. It was jigsaw puzzle pieces. And my Uncle Pete looked at me and he said, don't lose any of those. We'll need them when we do the puzzle. And it was just, nothing made sense in retrospect. It made perfect sense in the dream. And it was so real. It was one of those dreams that was like so real when it was happening. It didn't feel like a dream. But the thing that kept coming back to me is the cereal box full of puzzle pieces. Any idea what that could mean?
Well, you know, whenever you pour your dream out to me,
yeah,
I go straight into my AI dream analysis.
You see, this is why you're so smart. Okay, I should have done this. Go ahead.
All right. So I'm scanning it. It says, all right, vacation means there's a celebration happening.
Okay.
There's something coming up. The reason there's so many gadgets on the wall and cereal boxes on the wall is because you have a lot of choices to make now.
Okay.
And things aren't finished, but you're starting to put the pieces together. So when you dump out your cereal bowl and it's a bunch of puzzle pieces, it's because there's something exciting that you are working on, but you don't have all the pieces put together yet. So it's not cereal. It's you trying to put together a puzzle. Now, what all these people have to do with it, it does not tell me why Mike and Carrie and Uncle Pete are there.
Wow. Dreams are wild. They really, really are. Thank you for helping me make some sense of it, but there's nothing about the remote control planes?
No, my favorite line is the generic radio guy is especially funny because your brain apparently decided we need another broadcast and personality here, but I'm not going to cast anyone specific.
Josh, as a gadget guy, I think you'll appreciate the fact that every remote control plane had four remotes. So you could, well, like, fly it with other... I don't know. Just
well,
strange
let me see
dream.
What happens. So
okay.
Every remote
control plane
in the room,
yeah,
had four remotes.
So mine is not a nightmare, really. Not as disastrous as the Sox losing five in a row, but it's still something, right?
Rob, it says, yeah, this new thing that you're trying to build, there are too many people trying to control the same thing. So it's as if four people are trying to control. And everybody's having fun together. Everybody's performing together. Everybody has gadgets and things they can do on their own. But everyone is trying to control things. Nobody's clearly the pilot. And you're looking for some simple and sustaining. Instead, you're handling a puzzle piece that you have to figure out and put together to see what's next.
Josh, this has provided exactly no help, but thank you for doing that. I appreciate
it. I think it made lots of help. It tells me that something's going on in your life that's exciting and new, but you have to figure out all the details because
yeah, the
no
last
one's
thing,
helping you.
You know what's exciting and new? The Love Boat. That's what's exciting and new. When we come back, I've got beautiful video that we will enjoy, and we will do that after this on the Mike O'Mara Show.
Attention, TMOS fans. We've noticed something. Every Monday through Thursday, thousands of people happily download the free show, laugh their heads off, and then quietly slip away into the night like podcast ninjas. We know who you are. But if you're ready to graduate from freeloader to TMOS playa, it's time for the TMOS bonus show. Every Friday, we crank things up with extra stories, extra laughs, extra behind-the-scenes insanity, and the stuff that just doesn't fit in the regular show. Do you want the VIP treatment? Grab the commercial-free feed with the bonus show included every single week, or step into the Producers Club, our little corner of the internet where the true TMOS faithful gather. Here's the important part. Your subscription isn't just buying more laughs. It keeps the microphones on, all the servers humming, and this wonderfully ridiculous circus alive. So stop standing outside with your nose pressed against the window. Come on in! Hit the bonus show tab at tmospodcast.com and join the party, because life's too short for just four shows a week.
I agree. The supplement I was looking for is magnesium glycinate, G-L-Y-C-I-N-A-T-E, magnesium glycinate.
Is it working, though? Are you sleeping?
Yeah, well, I am sleeping, and I'm having the weird dreams, too. But make sure that's exactly what you get, and get the capsules, not the gummies, because there's other magnesiums. And as my doctor was, he went to medical school. He said, if you take that, you will shit your brains out. So,
hey, I like that. Some beautiful video.
Jerry Todd.
Nobody wants that.
And a really great bonus show out tomorrow.
Oh, very good. Yeah, you're going to love it. I think, here's a Producers Club-like comment. This has been a very fun week of shows. I don't know if it's because we're right in the middle of summer or whatever. They're just relaxed and they're fun.
This has been a week where everyone has came in relaxed. Everyone has been ready to have fun. It's been one of my favorite weeks in a while of shows.
Well, until today's show, which I think we can all agree is a qualified disaster. Yeah.
Painful for the listener.
Artificial intelligence seems to be all the rage. It's in all the newspapers, Josh. This had me fooled for a second until I started to really analyze the details. They said, we're finally releasing the lost episode of Seinfeld from 1998. And I said, oh, wow. And the plot was,
it's too late for a cash grab.
I know, but here's the thing. It's AI, of course, but it is so well done, it just might fool you. And not just the audio, but even the video looks right. Here is Seinfeld, artificially intelligent.
Come on out, Georgie.
What do you think, Jerry? It's the first listening party. I got to make a big impression.
A big impression? You look like a walking maraschino cherry.
Funny guy. Car's downstairs. We got to get to the stadium and finish the album.
So George recorded a rap album.
You're really going to record your album in a locker room?
Not just any locker room, Jerry. This room has been treated by the best rap producer in the world.
And it's Kramer, of course.
Trust the process, Jerry. Are you really going to call the album Estelle?
It's after my mother, in remembrance.
Your mother's alive.
I'm being proactive, Jerry.
The thing that really threw me is when they change environments, the audio on the voices change, like the ambient changes. It's wild.
It
looks
not
so
bad. It's not bad. And that's the problem, is it's little details that are missing, but it's just going to keep getting better.
I mean, can you imagine if, like, you really did get Larry David nailed down to write an actual Seinfeld quality script? They could make it now. They could actually
it. They could, yes.
It blows my mind, and quit fooling me. How lazy, on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being the most lazy, do you think Americans are?
Oh, I think Americans are not that lazy.
Okay.
I think they're about a 6. I think
Do you think there are
hard.
Are there Americans, though, that are looking to be lazier?
Oh, 100%.
Okay, because I got this ad
Everyone younger than me.
I got this ad on my, I think this was Facebook. I want you to stay with it, because the thing that surprised me was the text that came with the ad. But first, let's look at the ad. Okay.
Stuck in traffic, and I have to pee right now. That panic hits fast. Legs locked, sweating, nowhere to go. This is why I keep these in my car. It's a disposable emergency pee bag that absorbs in seconds, turns liquid into gel, and seals tight so nothing leaks or smells. I used one during a 40-minute traffic jam. No mess, no cleanup, no stress. Perfect for road trips, kids, camping, sickness, or real emergency.
Okay, I understand the value.
I'm kind of sold on the product.
I mean, I'm a guy who takes Lasix, so I understand the urgency. But one of the things in the written sales pitch was great for long flights.
All right, you lost me on long flights.
Because I mean, there's a bathroom on most planes, right?
But you're right. Bigger point, what I could use that for is beltway. Sitting on that in that beltway and knowing if I have to get off to use the bathroom, it's adding an extra 30, 40 minutes to my drive.
I agree, but...
you lost me at planes.
Planes, that's just plain rude. And besides... Although I suppose it's practical, the last thing I want to think about is pee gelatin.
And you know what? It's not necessary because you can always use a water bottle or a Coke
exactly.
bottle.
Exactly.
You can always make do because if I keep that thing in my glove box.
Or a Gatorade bottle if you're particularly gifted.
Yes. Yeah. Well, you can get the, the Pepsi like Big Slam or whatever. It's got the big opening as well. But
you know, I hate Pepsi things, products. Yeah,
exactly. If I kept those things in my glove box, the instant it got used, it would be going out my car window.
Yeah. What do they call them?
I'm not storing that thing.
I think truckers used to call the bottles. Well, no, they were called sunshine grenades.
Yes.
They would throw out the window.
Exactly. That's what that is.
But
anyway. It doesn't look very biodegradable.
Great for long flights. It has actually been years since this video posted, and I saw it, and I remembered it, but I didn't remember how ridiculous it was. And it's early, early internet. I guess it's a meme, or it was certainly viral. Do you remember when Miss South Carolina was, for Miss Teen USA, was asked a question that she could not handle? And so she babbled her answer. Do you remember this?
I do.
This merits a look at again. I don't normally retread stuff, certainly from years ago, but I want you to listen to this and try to decode what she said.
With our 2026 eyes.
Exactly.
Polls have shown a fifth of Americans can't locate the U.S. on a world map.
Okay.
Why do you think this is?
I personally believe that U.S. Americans are unable to do so because some people out there in our nation don't have maps, and I believe that our education, like such as in South Africa and the Iraq, everywhere like such as, and I believe that they should, our education over here in the U.S. should help the U.S. Or should help South Africa and should help the Iraq and the Asian countries, so we will be able to build up our future.
That timer couldn't have gone off faster.
No, she had a meltdown.
She did, and she was ready to answer something about foreign relations.
Right.
So she mentioned Iraq and all that. But here's the thing that I did not know that really is a great capper to that tape, Josh. She came in third. She genuinely came in third.
That's not
after
bad.
Giving that answer.
That's one part of the... the trivia is a small part of the contest.
Well, I don't think it's trivia as much as it is the long-form question. Trivia would be like,
it's a full debate, like prove your point.
Who played the Riddler in TV's Batman? And then she could do the same answer for that. That would be trivia. Anyway, you know what? Great that tape still exists in beautiful high definition. And also great to see Mario Lopez, who I would not want
to
live with.
I think it's also a great example of people that try to just talk and talk in circles where they never get their point out or what they want. They just want to sound smart.
And some people, myself included, have made a great career of that. Let's close with this. The great Willie Nelson. When you think of him, you probably think country singer. You might think marijuana enthusiast.
Yeah, and sure.
Go ahead. And a great songwriter. Beautiful songs he's written. Yeah. You don't think of him as a particularly funny guy. And also, you know, I've been at this a while. And
but I do hear comedians talk about how they love him and love to hang out with him.
Well, I think it's the pot. I don't think it's because he's teaching the material. So. But I know a lot of jokes, and most anytime someone tells me a joke, even if I haven't heard it, I know where it's going. Here's Willie Nelson telling his favorite dirty joke, and I have never heard it. So all hail Willie Nelson, who I believe is 190 years old.
It's Christmas time. And the doorbell rang, and the lady went to the door, and the postman was there. And she said, "Come in, John, Merry Christmas." She led him into the back room and screwed his brains out, brought him back out, fixed him a big breakfast of ham and eggs, biscuits and gravy, and then walked into the door and said, hand him a dollar and said, "Merry Christmas." And the guy said, "What just happened, lady?" She said, "Well, I asked my husband what to give you for Christmas." He said, "Fuck him, give him a dollar." And the breakfast was my idea.
So the breakfast was her idea. Never heard it. I hope you enjoyed this episode, Jarheads, of the Josh and Rob Show. We'll be back tomorrow with a beautiful bonus show. I'm trying to think, what was your highlight from the bonus show this week? We talked about a lot of stuff.
Honestly, I don't remember the bonus show. I remember going away and saying that was a fun bonus show. I don't remember.
We brought back a Spy Report. We go through the Leesburg.
I always enjoy Spy Report.
We go through the Leesburg Nextdoor app, which is always fun. Yeah. So check it out. That will drop tonight at midnight. And also tomorrow, I'll try to get it on early for you. Elvis Rob Radio for Elvis Death Day, as we observe. You don't celebrate it. You observe the 49th anniversary of the passing of the King of Rock and Roll.
And still room for you available in the Producers Club.
What time
morning.
Is that tomorrow? Is that 11?
11 a.m.
Okay, here's a fun wrinkle that Josh doesn't even know. I might be doing the Producers Club from the Volkswagen dealership.
Oh, okay.
I'll need something to do.
The Producers Club.
No, I think it might be fun to do from the dealership. They've got one of them fancy Coke machines. You know, the freestyle Coke machines. You see, a Volkswagen costs $1 billion to fix, but they treat you nice in the lounge.
The soda you can take.
That's right. And then I use my pee bag, who turns my urine into a beautiful gelatin.
I'm sure they've got bathrooms there.
No, I'm sorry. No bathrooms. It's very German. You have to hold it. That's what they do. We will see you again tomorrow, and Mike will be back for not only the bonus show, but fresh new show with the three of us on Monday. Until then, we will talk to you later, and I love you, Pop.
Thanks for listening to another episode of The Mike O'Meara Show. Please remember to click the Amazon link at tmospodcast.com before you shop online. It means a lot and makes the world a better place.
Hey, you guys!
Mike O'Meara, Radio Entertainment.